Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am speaking with Mr. Jeffrey Jones. And if you would tell us specifically what your role is at Payne now.
I teach, I'm an instructor of English there, and I teach composition and upper level English courses there.
Okay. So you are definitely helping people with this whole thing about communications. You're right. It can be a little concerning where we're going with so much time being spent on social media now as opposed to face-to-face and even writing on the paper.
Right. And that's and there's some studies that are out now that are really telling students, you know, that you retain more by writing stuff down as opposed, you know, we are easy to type it on our iPads or phone. But they're saying that we really retain information more. And I can see that because when I first got my iPhone, I'm kind of a late to the game. So when I first got my iPhone, you know, I said this is going to be a distraction for me because it's so much at one time.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of great things to it, but it can be a major distraction if I don't know how to manage it well. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's one thing I'm trying to teach my students. Like, use the technology, don't let the technology use you. And but I've noticed even in me, like, okay, I write notes on the board. Oh, let me take me a picture, click, so I can make sure I can. And of course, I don't forget. And then I'd be in the next class trying to figure out what I said instead of having it organized like I used to do, but open up a book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages of doing it. But I'm still trying to get students to understand. But you still need to get into the process of writing stuff down. Mm-hmm. Because there is a major benefit, and I can say as I get older, it's even more important to have stuff written down with your hand, because it's something about the hand, the brain's function. It, as you're writing, you're remembering it, whereas we don't have that capability with on our phones or on our computers and stuff, because we just, you know, because we don't, because I don't think we process it the same way. Mm-hmm. Because we're forced, because when you write it down, that's why I think some students don't like when I do in class, is because you're forced to write down what you have to say right then. You can't, you know, as a computer, you can edit it, right? You know, you really can't, you have some editing ability with writing, but it comes as it is on the page, which is a good thing because it shows you where you are and then move from there. And that's how you become a better writer. So when you encounter, use other platforms, you can, you'll know how to edit yourself, you know how to express yourself well in either if you're sending a text or if you're sending an email from your phone, or because you those skills that you learn just basic writing on a pad will transfer to that. And I'm noticing that more. Okay, now I see the connection between why it's important to still write on the pad, but still there are some merits from using this. And I have to consider that, you know, since now, you know, students, that's all I'm calling students now, that most of their interaction is on the phone. So, you know, so how do I reach them, you know, how do I reach them beyond the regular just writing down? Mm-hmm. What are other ways that they can still get the same skills that they need in order to progress?
Yeah. And that's what it's about, progressing, continued progress, instead of a little bit of progress here, I'm going to fall back there, I'm gonna lose some ground by doing. Then I'm gonna make some more progress. Then I'm gonna lose some more ground again, and end up kind of spinning our wheels in the same place if we're not careful.
That's right. That's true. And that's the thing we're trying to avoid, because it's and the earlier they learn it, the better. Because that's why I think probably freshman year is probably one of the most important years of the college experience, because that's when you're getting adjusted to college. You're learning how to manipulate. If you never knew how to network with people or being around people, you learn how to do that, either sometimes forced or sometimes you're on your own.
Yeah.
You learn those skills, and you pick up information. That's why I tell students, always be reading, you know, and read something substantial. We read all the time, but, I mean, read something substantial because you want to build your brain and its capabilities, so that when your teachers start giving you more complicated, or when you go to certain things, like we do chapel, like if someone mentions something in chapel, you'll be able to explain it. And the added benefit that we didn't have, you know, you can pull up your phone and be like, if I don't know, we didn't even have that. We had to go to the library or go So, you know, it's very easy. So that it shouldn't be no reason where you're at a time where there's so much information. It's just now we have to teach them how to process all the information to make some type of sense. What do you need and what do you don't need? And that's one of the biggest challenges now with technology, is how do you process that? Because that's, and that will be the determining factor of, like, for instance, the humanities. How do we integrate technology to make these majors still relevant? Because that's the argument, that they're not relevant anymore. But we know that they're still relevant, but because we've focused so much on technology, you know, they think, well, we don't need these. But really, you still need to know how to read. You still know how to write. You still need to know to engage, in order even to do this math problem, right? And there's a debate, like, how do we? But there are some good, like I mentioned earlier, that programs that are trying to merge those together, because they see that connection. Some colleges and universities are doing that. And I'm trying to incorporate something like that in Payne, because we've always been doing it, but we just didn't know how we bring it all together so it makes more sense to the student. Why is it important? You can major in this English major and do well, or you can major in Spanish and do well, because, you know, they see the connection, they see the dots. It's just about just connecting the dots, which is basically a critical analysis, which is what we teach in English, and throughout your degree, it's harped on, it's fashioned, it's sharpened. So,
and one of the things that you mentioned that really helped you, you talked about the importance of reading, strengthening that brain, and you talked about how just by reading, you were able to have a whole nother aspect of life, the world opened up to
That's
you.
That's right. And I've noticed now I pay a lot of attention to language. How the writer writes is just as important as what the writer writes. And there'll be some pages, like there's some books, it was like, man, it's just so beautifully written. You know, that took years to get that type of, to write prose that beautiful, because that means you think. And I tell students all the time, word choice always matters, particularly in this time. You know, people throw out words. You know, word choice matters so much now. Talk should never be cheap. You know, even when you write down, even if you're writing a little small essay for your class, every word should matter, because it's coming from you and it says something about you, how you understand and how you process it. And so I'm trying to really emphasize that, because I've learned more and more, like if we read someone like a Baldwin or a Morrison or a Faulkner, you know, one thing you have to deal with is that it's just the language is so beautiful. It almost sounds like lyrics, like to a song. Yeah. That's how beautiful it is. And that's the type of, but that takes time, and you have to have a passion for reading and wanting to understand and really communicating yourself. And really what happens is that why people like authors like that, we really see a side of them that we probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. You know, because they've spent all these hours and time crafting sentences upon sentences and paragraphs upon paragraphs just to get you to understand something. You know. But it's a strength that that will help you throughout life. I've noticed that, you know, taking that time and really crafting sentences and really thinking about, you know, what you're saying and why it's important you're saying is big and beautiful.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. We're going to be looking at something that I think is so significant. We talked about reading. It's power to open up a whole new world. And, of course, one of the ways that happens is by reading through history. And one of the historical events that Payne College has going on, and been doing this for some time now, is having the Harlem Renaissance Conference. Could you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Since 1997, the Department of Humanities at Payne has been hosting the Payne College, the Harlem Renaissance Conference. And so it's, you know, the Harlem Renaissance is a period from 1919 to 1940 that covers art, politics, music, culture, literature, And it's responding in many cases to many of the social injustices that are going on in the period. And there's major issues going on, you know, World War One, the Great Migration, and so international immigration into the U.S. So there are a lot of issues going on, and they're all flocking to Harlem. Harlem becomes this metro, this black metropolis. In fact, James Weldon Johnson calls it the Negro capital of the world. Although there are other movements in Chicago and Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and stuff, Harlem is center.
Gotcha.
It's center of that.
And so we're going to have a conference at Payne.
Mm-hmm. And it will be on November 1st and 3rd. And we'll have Dr. Anthony Neal from Mississippi State and Camilla Aisha Moon, who is a Payne alum, who is a professor at Agnes Scott College in Atlanta.
Awesome.
And she's an acclaimed poet. So there will be our two major. And we'll have conference speakers from people from around the region. And then a great celebration to kind of cap off the artistry of the Harlem Renaissance.
Awesome. And again, that's November
1st through the 3rd. On the campus of Payne.
All right. Do people need to register or just show up?
And you can go to www.payne.edu for more information, whether there's a list of schedule of events and what's happening.
All right. Mr. Jeffrey Jones, Payne College Professor of English and Literature. We appreciate you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, son. Thank you.
All right, everybody. November 1st through 3rd, Harlem Renaissance Conference. We've heard so much about it. You might get a chance to actually kind of vicariously experience a bit of it. November 1st through 3rd. Be back in just a few.